Hello, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is not Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, we were kind enough to actually say what we're gonna do last episode, and then we turned around and didn't do it.
It flubbed. We'll get into that, but right now...
We had some technical difficulties, so we had to... Instead of re-recording the entire episode, we just decided to move on.
So, we're not Sea of Thieves, but what are we?
We're Monster Hunter today. We're a Monster Hunter today.
I'm in the podcast name.
Oh, we are the Cozy Co-op.
A podcast where a video game journalist and a creative writer talk about video games. As we said, we were going to talk about the recently released Sea of Thieves. Will you say that one?
Sea of Thieves.
Thank you. But due to some unfortunate technical issues, i.e. the sound was buggy as well. That was a weird sentence.
As well.
This is what happens when I try to improvise.
He decided not to make any notes for this episode. Wing it today.
Well, we had plans to just have Sea of Thieves. That didn't work out, so now we're just kind of, well, let's make something else.
Well, it's not like we didn't plan to do Monster Hunter. Well, actually, yeah.
We were going to do it next, so.
Instead of Sea of Thieves, we were going to do a Monkey Island episode.
Right.
And then today, he said, no, we're going to do Monster Hunter, so.
I want to talk a bit. Okay, so. Before that, news. First one is third-party Nintendo Switch chargers are bricking their systems.
Yes, I did hear about this.
Anyone who doesn't know, the term bricking means rendering obsolete, i.e. it's so broken it cannot be fixed. Now, the reason this is, turns out, is the Wii... Or the Wii. Oof, I'm in the wrong generation. The Switch uses USB-C protocols. So you use a USB-C cord to charge it. Same mm-hmm. thing for the Switch dock. Now, this is a pretty common port. A lot of devices use it, so people found, oh, I'll use a third-party what's it. But it would break their Switch. And turns out it's because the Nintendo Switch is absolutely full of protocol errors. Mm. Meaning they coded the Switch to work with their cord. And they don't care if it works with other cords. And because of that, power outputs are being jank.
Yeah.
And it's breaking. So the safest option right now is actually to just use the designated Nintendo Switch charger. However, it has been stated that by this guy, his name's Nathan K. He's a freelance hardware engineer, and he did a whole analysis of this problem. So he found that he found out why Switch is being so weird. He did, however, note that Energy, INNERGIE, brand chargers, specifically the 45-watt chargers, will work on the Switch safely.
That's good.
Otherwise, you should play it safe and not use a non-Nintendo Switch charger.
Yeah, that's kind of gross, though. It's going the way of Apple.
I don't think that's it. I think this was... Whereas Apple was more like, let's make it proprietary and awesome, but restrict it. This was more of Nintendo going, well, we have a cord. Why do we need to make it for anything else?
Okay.
It's like, they're saying because they have a size 9 foot, they don't need to care if their feet can handle a size 10.
Okay. It's still fuzzy for me.
That's
but...
hardware complication. The other bit, Call of Juarez... I think I'm pronouncing that one right.
Juarez.
I don't know.
Juarez.
Juarez.
All right.
Call of Juarez Gunslinger. The fourth iteration of the Call of Juarez games has disappeared from Steam, PlayStation, and Xbox marketplaces.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why. You can still play it if you own it. It's just delisted. However, the demo for it is still up. I've actually emailed the Ubisoft PR representative, because Ubisoft published this game.
Yeah.
And he says, hold on, I'll pull it up. Here it is. Basically, I asked him, hey, can you provide information as to why this happened? And the guy said, thanks for your inquiry, I'm looking into it, stay tuned.
So he doesn't know?
That's the thing, is I don't think they knew about it. I think this might have been a technical issue or something.
Oh.
He did not give me the generic PR response. He says, I'll look into it.
Okay.
Which makes me wonder... If this is an accident, because if it was intended, a lot of times people delist a game if they change publishers or if they're intending for a remake. Mm-hmm. Those are the two most common. But they know about it then, so they'd give a generic PR response. He didn't. He's like, I'll look into it. So I'm wondering if it was just some kind of technical error. Maybe they forgot to update their sub something. I don't know. So that's the news. Let's get into Monster Hunter World.
I'm going to be very quiet.
And I'm going to talk a lot.
I have watched you play a lot of this game, especially that one weekend where we did nothing but play video games. But I was also playing Stardew Valley at the time, so I wasn't watching that closely.
Yes, if anyone recalls from the first episode when we were talking about Stardew Valley and I said how she had played it all day, I was sitting next to her playing Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Now, you gonna get schooled right now. I'm about
more
to
than
hit
I already
your
have
brain.
Been?
More. I'm about to bring okay. so much Monster Hunter knowledge up in your brain hole.
All right.
So, Monster Hunter. It has existed for a while. Monster Hunter World is, technically speaking, the fifth game, and they've had numerous spinoffs since then. It, up until now, has mostly been popular in the East, like Japan. And despite their efforts, they could never really get the game to launch in the West, in the Americas and whatnot. Monster Hunter 3, which is like Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, I think, was the version. I had that. That was where I got into the Monster Hunter games. That was their biggest bump, but it was nothing to the scale of World.
When did that come out?
Oh, God, I couldn't tell you. 2014?
Oh, okay.
Now, Capcom, they made this. They were like, no, screw this. We want everyone to enjoy Monster Hunter. So they did, is they took Monster Hunter, they took all the good and the bad, they made all of it better, titled it World, and then just publicized the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Advertisements everywhere, really cool cutscenes, big shows at E3 events, all that jazz. They made it a big deal, and they actually said they called it Monster Hunter World because they wanted the world to enjoy it.
Ah.
They did not call it Monster Hunter 5. Because that makes people think, oh, do I need to play 1 through 4?
Yeah.
They wanted to know, hey, if you're new and you've never played, now's your time to get in.
It's a good idea.
And God, are they right.
Mm.
Monster Hunter World has been the best Monster Hunter I've ever played. It is very expansive. It still has some of the problems that Monster Hunter's games overall have. What?
You have, like, smoothie on your lips. Mm. It's like, I just noticed you have berry just all over your lips.
Oh, I got that good berry flavor.
Okay. I'm just sitting so close to you now, I suddenly noticed.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Now I've lost my train of thought entirely.
I also have, because I was too busy looking at your berry lips.
Berry Lips by Adobe.
Adobe? I don't know what that is. Oh my God.
You ever see that commercial?
No.
It was a fake commercial making fun of makeup commercials.
Yeah.
And it was advertising Photoshop, but in the style.
Oh.
So it was like Photoshop by Adobe.
Adobe. All right. That's okay.
No.
Anyway, Monster Hunter World, accessible.
I should explain what Monster Hunter games are, because a lot of people have a hard time understanding.
You hunt monsters.
Yes.
Okay.
You are right. The term monster seems mean to me. They're just gigantic beasts.
They're big animals.
And some of them are just mean. Some of them are nice. So the goal of Monster Hunter games is basically you are given a target, which is a creature. More times than not, the reason you need to hunt this creature is because ecological preservation. You're not doing this for a sport. This isn't like Cabela's or something. This is, hey, this beast is just tearing up the local ecosystem.
Can
we need to thin him out.
Have you ever been in a Cabela's?
The store? No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I can't remember if it's Gander Mountain or Cabela's, or maybe both of them do it, but they have these like huge nature displays, like where they do models of a natural environment that you can look
oh,
at
really?
In the store. Imagine if that was Monster Hunter, like if we had the like the, oh man, it would look like that dinosaur exhibit at Kosai.
I have not seen those. So for starting off, people are like, oh, why are you attacking these monsters for no reason? That is the reason. Ecological preservation. You're not just a dick. You have a weapon. There are 14 weapons in the game, and they vary on their styling. The great sword, very big, hits really hard, but it's very slow.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be able to, like, predict time yourself to where you can hit them hardest at the right moment before they hit you.
Are you just talking about world right now?
Technically, I'm still talking about all of them. Okay. World has 14. There wasn't as many back in the day. They keep expanding.
14 what?
Weapons.
Okay.
You would hunt these monsters. You would carve them for parts, like scales or armor plates or even like tails or teeth or fangs. And you would use those parts to craft better weapons or better armor. And normally, the armor and weapons you make are kind of like visually themed off the monster that you attack, that kind of thing. And then rinse, lather, repeat. You find new monsters, you get better gear, you find new monsters, you get better gear, and you do this basically until you fought everything.
I'm sorry, I keep hitting the microphone. You keep
touching the microphone.
I'm hitting it with my bracelet, too. I'm sorry, I was putting my glass down.
Now, people wonder, you know, how can that be fun? How does that not get boring super quickly? And it's the same reason games like Destiny are still fun, in that it does the grindy aspect of video games really well. Because you don't know what you're going to get when you kill these monsters. You don't know what kind of... Like, you can go, oh, I need an Anjanath plate. So you can go hunt an Anjanath, but you don't know if you're going to get it that time.
Ugh, that would frustrate me so badly. I just like to get things and go.
There is satisfaction to be had from it, though. Once you've made a full set of Gyarados armor... By the way, all of these monsters have silly names. I'm going to try to get them right.
Okay.
I might get some wrong.
I would not know if it was wrong.
And there's satisfaction not just to be had with making the bits, but the fights themselves. Because these fights, they're not quick. This isn't some kind of 10-minute boss battle end game type of fight. This is... Everything is probably going to take you at least 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's something you're overpowered for and experienced in fighting... It's not going to go quickly.
What about if you have people with you?
It actually accommodates for that. It is a co-op game. You and up to three others are able to play cooperatively. We're going to touch into the god mess of whatever term words that Monster Hunter World is.
Okay, so we get a little worked up here.
Oh god, it's a mess, babe. It is so bad.
So are you.
They do a lot right with this game, but they do a lot wrong with it, too.
Yeah.
The right thing that they do is that it feels good to fight monsters. It feels great when you succeed. You don't feel bad when you fail. If you fail, you come back again smarter, and you use your newfound knowledge to win the second time. And it feels super nice to have that. And I love it. There are problems with this game, though. The multiplayer being one major problem.
I remember that really well, though, because as much as I wasn't particularly watching you, I do remember all of the drama surrounding, are we in the right group? Oh, no, we're not in the group. I don't know how to get into the group.
I need to be invited by one man.
One guy needs to update before the group can jump in.
So, here's how it works. You can join a random lobby with up to, I think, 16 people. Now, that's cool. In the old games, the lobby was 4 people. So now you can just 16 people and then 3 others from that big group can join you. That's nice. That's with strangers. If you want to play with a friend, you need to either give them the room code that you're in of the public lobby and hope that they get in before somebody else does. Do a private game, private lobby, give them the room code or a direct invite. Well, that's a bit of a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much of a hassle if you've got direct friends. Now, what if you are a community? For example, the Carve, the podcast.
Yay,
you were waiting
Micah!
For this. They're the podcast, I would argue, say, the most popular Monster Hunter podcast. There's not a lot of Monster Hunter podcasts.
It's a pretty niche podcast zone.
But they are, I'm pretty sure, the most popular. They got pretty high on the charts when this game came out. One of the co-hosts, SBJ, Stephen Black Jr., and Micah. They're the co-hosts, and they wanted to make a lobby for their fans, for their listeners. Mm-hmm. Now, Monster Hunter World added this new thing called guilds, where if you made a guild, you could invite somebody into that guild. When they are a member of that guild, they can go into a guild lobby specifically for guildmates. this is cool, because then it's just, oh, two clicks, and I'm into a lobby with people I know and trust. Now, this worked really great most of the time, mm-hmm. because I could simply just be in a lobby with three other people I want to fight with. I don't need to do multiple invites or any of that. I can just automatically have access.
Mm-hmm.
Problem. Only the creator of the guild can invite people into the guild.
Mm.
Now, when you have a community of over 100 people, that means you have to stop a lot and invite them. Here's the trick. You cannot invite them unless you are in a game with them.
Oh.
Also, if you invite them and you leave, they cannot accept that invite anymore because you are not online.
Oh, no.
Even better, if the game updates... Even if you are not the, if you're the lobby owner, the guild owner, but you're not in the lobby, no one else can join it if you don't update.
Yeah, I remember
the update of the lobby is dependent on the owner, even though the server would be connected to somebody else.
Yeah.
It is chock full of problems and complications, and it was a pain to try to navigate through it initially. There's a huge hassle there.
I remember, because because you would have Micah's streams up.
Yes, he was streaming Monster Hunter a lot. Twitch.tv/Micah the Brave.
Just a quick little plug there.
See it? He'll never
Honestly,
know.
Honestly, even if you're not into Monster Hunter, which, like, I was not, I've never, ever played Monster Hunter, I super enjoyed listening to him on his streams and hearing him respond to people's messages and stuff. It's just really delightful to listen to. So
he's such
a
chill dude.
He's really delightful. So even if you're not a Monster Hunter fan, I still recommend going out to check out his Twitch streams.
He streams other games too.
Okay, that's good, because I didn't know.
Yeah, he's a variety streamer.
But yeah, go check him out, because he's delightful.
He's actually the man who designed our logo
cover art. Yeah,
he designed our cover art.
He's yeah, very, very nice person to work with, and a delightful cover art. I'm still in love with it. So
it's good. It made me discover I had a squiggly mouth.
Yeah, you do have a squiggly mouth.
I never knew. No one told me of my squiggle mouth.
Even Micah knows.
Well, I mean, he did probably stare at me for a while to figure it out. A picture of me, not me personally.
Who wouldn't, though?
I don't have a response to that one.
Okay.
So, Monster Hunter World, big success. I can't confirm it. I don't remember. But I actually believe this is Capcom's best-selling game ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks good.
And with, like, games like Street Fighter V having come out last year, that's a pretty hard record to beat. Mm-hmm. But it beat it. It was number one on Twitch streams for a while, which is almost impossible to do if you're not Fortnite or League of Legends.
I mean, I think maybe one reason for that is, despite the issues with the multiplayer, this is a very good community game because
the cutscenes. I forgot about the cutscenes. Go on. Oh. Talk in a moment.
Okay. I was going to say, you're not against each other or anything. It's really, and something that I liked when I was watching you play is that there's not this air of you're the only one who can do this, which really does lend itself to more community-based gaming, where you're not a chosen one, you're just a part of a group of monster hunters. And so when you're with other real people who are quote-unquote monster hunters, it looks like it's a little more immersive as far as multiplayer and co-op.
And they did a really good job of making that easier. This is a part where they did fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be in their party to help them anymore. Before, it was, if I want these people to fight with me, we need to all get ready and then start the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody's doing a mission, you can just hop in halfway through and help them out.
Nice.
Or even better, let's say you don't have somebody coming to help you. You can shoot out what's called an SOS flare, which will basically open up your specific game to all players. So all players can go, oh, I want to go help that guy. So you'll get, so if you're in a situation where, like, I can't do this, I need help, you can shoot off this flare, then some guys from Japan are going to come over and be like, I got you, bro, but in Japanese.
That, gives me a really good image, though, because I think of the Monster Hunters, like, in-game as super crazy, insane people because they're doing this. Like, I've watched you go up against things that are easily 10 times your size, and you're just completely wailing on it with a big old hammer. So, like, they have to be crazy. And you just think about, you know, you're in a mission and someone else goes, "What? He's going to take out that monster?" And then you just see them crashing in through the foliage. "I'm coming!"
"My god, it's the dreaded Xenogiva. I got it! I'm coming!"
Yeah.
Steve, get over here! This one's crazy!
Oh, that does... That's what I'm saying. It's not like, I'm the only one who can do this, and then other people who are the only one who can do this coming in to help you. It's like, we're all just here to fight some monsters.
Now, in the story that they provide...
Everyone's name is Chad.
In the story that they provide, technically you are the only one, and they do treat you that way. But the story is very minimal and kind of unnecessary. Like, you cannot listen to anything anyone says, and you'll still be able to play this game just fine.
Okay.
However,
I'm good.
Play this game just fine. If you're new, you're still going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
That's because this is a problem that's been with Monster Hunter games for a long time, is that it's hard to learn. There's a lot going on.
Is this
There's
a wiki-dependent game like Stardew?
You know? No. It's not wiki dependent. It's confusing. It's not like, oh, I don't know what this and that does. I don't know what I can do here. It's, I don't know whether or not this is better than that or what I should be doing. It's too vague in the information. You don't know what weapons you want to pick. You don't know what upgrade you should choose. They don't really explain the armor system very well or the upgrade system. They do better by, they added a thing that lets you see what monsters are weak and strong to what elements and what they drop. So you can in game find, oh, this monster drops this piece and I should use a water weapon. But that helps, but it's not solving the problem of all of the information that's throughout that you can be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
There was an instance where I was helping a guy fight a giant creature called the Diablos. It's kind of like a sand dragon type deal. And he kept dying. And at the end of it, I was like, "Hey man, what's your armor looking like?" He was like, "Well, I've not been upgrading it because I've been wanting to save my things." I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Use your armor pieces.
Yeah.
Upgrade your armor. Don't bother saving it. You'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "Oh, I didn't know that's what it was now."
Yeah.
And he upgraded it. And sure enough, him, me, two other guys, we get in there, we kick the ass.
Yeah.
And it's easy for people to be held back because of this burst of information. Somebody who may not know that they should upgrade their sword.
That's definitely something that ends up putting me off a lot. That's why it took me so long to play Skyrim. Because there was so much going on, and it was like, you can follow the story, or you can just do whatever you want. And by the time that I got around playing it, everyone already figured everything out. And so I was like the dumb one, because I didn't know anything. And it was really, sorry, Elena, it was really awful playing with my sister sitting next to me. Cause she was just like yelling at me about everything.
Be a stealth archer.
I didn't know what to do. So finally, I sat down with Brandon.
That's me.
And that is, yes. And started playing Skyrim. And it took you very patiently saying, "This is what this does. This is where this goes. Do this if you want." And I would still get frustrated because
here are
your
options.
Yeah, I would try to do things and then you would try and tell me something differently. And I was just trying to, it's hard to figure it all out by yourself, but at the same time, you do want to figure it out for yourself. You don't want to be told everything.
I admit moments like that are a little hard to watch because it will be, I'm watching you and I can know that whatever you're about to attempt is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Or that I'm just going completely the wrong way.
Let them learn.
But it's very easy to put somebody off that way. And I still, like, I don't think I've gotten very far in Skyrim because it is just so very dense with content.
And it is VR.
I mean, that's true.
It is harder
to... It takes a minute to set it up.
It's harder to, set up and to kind of marathon it, like most
right.
RPGs. I want to play it now. Now you got
me
thinking about it.
Maybe we should. Maybe after dinner.
during the video call with your grandmother?
Oh, no, I'm not doing VR during my video call. All right,
fine, I will then.
Okay.
Just have me in the background swinging around.
I wanted you on that call.
Okay. I'll be on the call. I'll just also be in Hammerfell.
Oh, you're dumb. All right. anyway, back to Monster Hunter.
Better yet, back to a word from our sponsor.
Okay.
Provisions stockpile in Estera has things for the hunters. For you. Yeah. That's all I got. I'm sorry. I was supposed to have like an ad thing written out, but I had one written out.
I did mention that Brandon decided we're not going to have any notes today. We're flying by the seat of our pants. So... also, we don't have any sponsors, so literally anything we say is just going to be BS anyway.
If there comes a time to where we actually have ad blocks to do, it'll go there.
Yeah.
We'll still have our funny ones, for sure, because I enjoy them, but I did not have time to come up with anything, and Monster Hunter isn't that lore-heavy.
I said we should do an ad with, like, cooking...
The Meowscular Chef?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the Palicos?
Absolutely.
I love these boys.
I go crazy for them.
So, in this world, there are cats. They shaped like cats, but they stand on 2 feet. And they are smart. They're like human smart. They don't talk, though. They meow. Well, I think they do actually talk, because they talk in cat puns.
Mm.
And they're called Palicos. And they're your friend. In Monster Hunter World, you have a Palico friend who fights alongside you. And they're adorable.
They're little kitty babies.
They're so positive and helpful and lovely, and I love them.
That's something else I love about this game. Everyone's so, yeah, let's get to it. It's really...
It's not like, that, oh, grittiness.
It's not. It's actually really adorable in some ways.
At the same time, it's not stupid silly.
Right.
It really efficiently balances that line between silly and serious.
It's kind of like what we were talking about the other day with Pacific Rim, where most action movies desperately want you to want to be logical, and Pacific Rim desperately wants Ron Perlman to wear gold shoes. I think that's kind of what Monster Hunter is so many of these games desperately want to be gritty and to have everything make sense, and Monster Hunter desperately wants a cat to bring down a giant dinosaur. And a very muscular cat to cook you a giant turkey.
The Meowscular Chef.
Mm-hmm.
He is the buffest cat you'll ever see. And he's the lead chef. He's in charge of, like, provisions and such. And he often sends you out on missions. And he's like, get some sweet gains, meow.
My God. I think that's probably the best thing, in my opinion, about Monster Hunter is more than the mechanics. I mean, the mechanics are great. The way you fight monsters is really cool and unlike pretty much any other game I know of. But Monster Hunter knows when to be silly and overdramatic and when to make you feel like a badass. And I think that's just a very cool thing for a game to have, is to just have this spark of adventure in it that makes everything so much lighter than, oh, death, monsters, scary things.
All right, I want to play a little game with you. I do know a lot of... I want you to look at a monster. I've pulled up a monster here.
Okay.
I want you to try to pronounce its name. And a picture if it shows up.
Okay.
What is this?
Anjanath.
Basically, yeah, you got that right. It's Anjanath.
And Jonath.
Tell me something about this boy.
He looks like a T-Rex with some fur on his shoulders.
Yeah, he basically is.
He's a very big boy.
Let's go for a harder one, shall we?
Okay. What am I supposed to be guessing?
If I can learn how to spell him. There it is. Oh, no.
Oh, oops. I saw it, too.
Tell me, well, first, the name of this boy.
Giratidos. Ooh. Wait, Giratodus. Giratodus? Yeah.
Okay. What is he?
Fishy boy. He looks like, what's that one big fish that is, like, completely useless, but also doesn't taste good, so things don't eat it?
Sunfish?
Yeah, the sunfish. That's what it looks like.
He looks like, I mean, he's narrower.
He looks like the sunfish, but he's got a bunch of protrusions.
That's mud.
Oh.
He's a muddy boy. He likes to coat himself in mud. Boy. What about his friend here?
Lavasioth. Lavasioth.
So it's Giratotis and Lavasioth.
Lavasioth.
My lisp doesn't help with this one.
Yeah, it looks just like the last one, except this time made of lava.
That is another common Monster Hunter thing. They will have variations of each other. So
they're best friends.
Sometimes they're literally just different colors, like the pink Rathian.
The shiny version.
They are shiny, yeah. Sometimes they are elemental differences. For example, there is a creature called the Odogaren. Odoban?
Autobahn?
Autobahn.
You can go as fast as you want.
Odogaren? It is Odogaren. So there's a creature called the Odogaren. Oh, no, I'm not. He's the dog boy. It is hard remembering all of these creatures.
There are a lot of them.
I think it's Uragan, maybe?
It kind of surprises me the amount of creativity that went into these monsters. I know it's called Monster Hunter and the point of the game is hunting different monsters, but still. Good.
And they don't even have all of them. Like, one of my personal favorites is called... Oh god, no. I've forgotten his name!
Oh no, you've abandoned your boy.
He was like, imagine if an iguana was also a lion, but also made for water. So instead of a furry mane, he had like a spongy mane.
Okay. I don't know how the sponge helps you be more aquadynamic.
Well, because like it's a, I don't know, he absorbs nutrients. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay.
Love that boy. He's not in Monster Hunter World.
Aww.
I was so sad.
You could have seen him in such pretty graphics.
I could have. I would have loved to.
Maybe they'll patch it.
I'm hoping. Because they're adding post launch monsters.
It's like Animal Crossing, but for monsters.
It's like Animal Crossing, but you kill them and harvest their flesh.
We were just talking about how this game is so fun and bright.
It's so
and
fun
positive.
And friendly and nice.
But still,
and murder
it's
them.
Still no Animal Crossing.
Kill them.
It's still the grim dark version of Animal
harvest
Crossing.
Harvest their skin.
Oh my god! Can you imagine? Oh no. But
speaking of adding later, they have recently added a post-launch monster, and it is the Devil Joe.
I watched you fight this
yes,
10 minutes ago.
I fought this before we started the podcast. He is well known already. He's been around. He's called the World Eater. And it's
he didn't look that big.
It's not because he's big, it's because he eats everything.
Oh.
He will eat anything.
It's me.
He will eat his own tail. You can set. You can sever the tail of certain monsters. And normally you can go and you can carve it for like bonus material. He'll actually stop and eat his own tail to regain stamina.
Oh no.
You didn't see it because I was using a blunt weapon, so I never cut his tail off. But that is a thing that can happen. But basically,
I will just eat my own appendage.
He's considered
That's so metal.
Technically speaking, top of the food chain.
Well, yeah.
Because he will eat everything.
He just will eat. It's not whether or not he can. It's just that he will.
And he's such an angry boy, so he's just like a mean pickle. They called him that in the press release. Mean pickle.
He doesn't look like a pickle. He looks like a big old worm.
He's bumpy and like fat. I like it because...
He's very fat and round.
His roundness makes me think of like bulldogs.
Aww.
Because bulldogs are fat and round.
Yeah,
but that's
like
because they're
sausages.
That's because they're buff.
Yeah.
I had a bulldog, an old English one, and I'd lift up his paw, and I'd just see him looking ripped.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm imagining that, but something the size of a two-story house.
Oh, man, this dude was bigger.
If all of that fat was muscle, no wonder the big boy is tough and dangerous.
Does he just convert everything he eats into muscle like it's all protein powder?
And a neat thing, sometime this fall... Monster Hunter World will be coming to PC.
Oh, cool.
Which is, that's new. That's unheard of. A lot of times it didn't even make it onto home consoles. It was a weird. The launch of certain games are very uneven. But it will be coming to PC in the fall, so I expect a resurgence and more monsters to be updated, added in. Maybe I'll get my nice boy, Ludroth. That's its name.
Oh, you got it. Yay!
I love Ludroth's.
Your boy.
More than one Ludroth.
Ludrothi.
Ludrothodes.
Ludrothodes.
So, a little early, but I think that's all I have to say. I'll rant forever if given the content. But I think I've covered just about everything I want to say.
I'm afraid for when we bring up Pokemon.
No. Harvest Moon is when you should be afraid.
Okay.
That is when I will have so many opinions.
Okay.
So many.
You have a lot of opinions.
I'm still mad about Lumina. That's her name, by the way. The child that you can marry.
Oh.
Her name is Lumina.
Still mad. Still, maybe you should write.
That was 2001.
You've
and
been...
I'm still mad.
17 angry years.
Every day I wake up and I go, oh, Lumina, go back to grade school, you child.
Why are you mad at her?
Because you shouldn't be able to marry her.
Maybe be mad at the people Why? Who let you marry her.
She is a responsible young woman who should know better than
I swear to God. Everyone's gonna, okay, if you haven't already turned off this podcast, we're going to end now and put you out of your misery. This is how we lose every one of the few listeners we have. I'm worried for you. This is how we die in episode 3.
So, that's Monster Hunter. housekeeping. Maybe not this episode, but if you enjoyed our other episodes, you can...
We're going to cut out the parts you may not enjoy. Hopefully it's not the entire episode.
Just cut it out. It'll be 15 minutes of me saying mean pickle. If you like this, leave us a review on iTunes. That helps us get seen. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Cozy Co-op Podcast and on Facebook. If you want to leave some feedback or maybe suggest a future game that we could talk about, you could email us at cozycoop@thelizardrock.com.
Please do email us, because we would really like, if we tell you at the end of the episode what we're going to do next, go ahead and send us your thoughts on that game. We might include that in there and mention you. And if you want us to review a specific game, that's, you know, something we, well, review, talk about, you know, whatnot.
Review with air quotations.
With air quotations, loosely review. We can talk about a game that you like that maybe we don't have on our list yet, so.
Otherwise, that's it for today.
Cozy up with us next week on Cozy Co-op. Outro music!
Okay, hold on, before you go. I'm not organized. I didn't say everything I meant to. Next week, we are talking about Dragon Age. That's going to be a Justine-heavy one. Have fun with that one.